Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Big Boat Interview. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones and this week I caught up with yacht owner Deborah Rubin. We caught up about her yacht, 73.5 metre Siren, as well as some of the others she's had a hand in designing and selling. 68 metre 777, 73.51 metre Sapphire, 73.55 metre Graffiti and 73.51 metre Mogombo, all by Nobiskrug. We also talked about some of her favourite cruising spots, what she does when she's not on board, and why she loves Siren, the yacht that they use personally, so much. This week's episode is sponsored by KVH, the service which creates innovative connectivity solutions for customers on sea, land and air around the globe. KVH is a global leader in mobile connectivity, content and value-added services with technology designed to enable a mobile world and keep mariners always connected. To find out more, visit kvh.com. Hi, Deborah, and thank you for joining us here today for Boat Briefing.
Thank you, Charlotte. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. Where are you today?
I'm in London. It's not looking terribly bright, is it?
No, it's not. Do you have cruising plans for the summer so you can hopefully be away from all this drizzle?
Yeah, well, yes, actually we do. We're going to join Siren in Greece and Athens on the middle of June.
Wow, okay, brilliant. So anywhere so you're going to Athens and then do you know where you'll travel around?
Well, I like to wait and see what the weather is doing.
Yeah, that's very sensible.
And then decide, but hopefully we'll end up on the Aegean side and going through some of the islands.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to talk about Greece in a second because I know you've got a special connection there. And it's very exciting to be speaking to someone who I know that you've had so many kind of wonderful boats pass through your hands. So we're going to talk about Siren, but also Sapphire, Graffiti and Mogambo, all are kind of yachts that you've had an involvement with.
And 777.
And 777 too, right? But it's Siren that we're talking about today. And we'll kind of link to those other boats in the episode description. So let's talk a bit about Greece first, because I think you mentioned you're of Greek descent.
Yes, I'm of Greek descent, both parents, born in New York, raised in New York, but have spent the majority of my life between London and now Monaco.
Right. Okay. So do you feel Greek or do you feel like a New Yorker who had Greek parents?
Funnily enough, because I've spent so much time in England, I relate much more to being a Londoner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're in good company there then.
And of course, I've spent the last 15 years resident in Monaco.
Right.
And I love being by the sea, on the water.
Yeah.
And I'm a Mediterranean, genetically, and so I like it there very much as well.
And what is it that you love about being out on the ocean?
That's a very good question. I just love the calmness, the peace, the nature, the sky, the beautiful waters and wildlife in the water.
Yeah.
But mainly it's the peace and the solitude that I can find there.
So would you say when you're kind of out on the boat, your style of yachting is quite a relaxed one rather than kind of doing loads of activities, or do you still have a pretty busy schedule?
Well, I combine it. I mean, lots of times I have 12 guests, so obviously it's quite action-packed and there's usually one meal on board and one meal out. I try to sort of go to interesting places that my guests can go and see something new. Take a tour. I like to hike. And so most of my guests hike with me.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I enjoy doing Pilates.
Right. Okay. And because Siren has a beautiful gym on board, doesn't she?
Well, she has a gym and we have Pilates as well. And we either do it on the sun deck, Pilates, if we're a lot of people, if it's the whole complement, or I work out actually on the sun deck.
Right. Okay. And is Greece a common cruising ground for you? Because I know that you go all over, don't you? Caribbean, all sorts of places.
Yes. I mean, I haven't been to Turkey for several years, but generally speaking, we travel between France and all the way up to Greece.
Yeah. And are there places that you go to in Greece now that you maybe visited as a child or that your parents would have had a connection with? Or is your Greece a kind of different Greece to the ones they would have known?
Well, I mean, my parents did live in Athens, although they originally came from Thessaloniki. So the Peloponnesus region is quite beautiful and nice to cruise. But I'm actually a lover of the islands. I like to be around the islands. And I like to go wherever the sea is calm. The islands are very casual and relaxed.
Do you have
and
any
so
particular
enjoy the most.
Particular favorites? Because I've done the Greek islands, and every time I stop off somewhere new, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. No, this is my favorite. Is there anywhere that you're like?
That's exactly how I feel, though. I mean, many years ago when I was younger, when I first was on Siren, I loved to go to Mykonos and Delos and Paros and the islands around there. But they've become very, very hectic recently, although I still love to go to Mykonos.
Do you kind of party when you're there? Or
well,
do you go
I
to the quiet a bit?
I can if I want to, but yeah, I've got lots of friends who live there. So what I like to do is how I feel.
Yeah.
If I feel like going out, there's so many wonderful places to go to there. And I particularly love the Hotel Santa Marina. My husband and I were very close to the late owner, and now I'm very close to his daughter.
Oh, that's lovely. So you get to see them when you're in town.
Yes.
Well, let's talk a bit about your kind of journey into yacht ownership then. How did you come to own a boat? Had you chartered extensively beforehand? And what made you take the plunge?
Quite honestly, I never considered owning a yacht. Ever. I mean, I had such a busy life, and I just considered that another layer of life that I wasn't really ready to embrace. But my husband was always a lover of boats. I mean, when our children were first born, we used to visit all the ports and look at the boats, and we always admired them so much. And one day, my husband went with our younger son and came back and told me that he bought a 72-foot Mangusta.
And was that a surprise, or did you kind of see that coming?
You did what? How could you do that? So I went and I had a look at it, and my little boy, Jamie, who was like about 4 at the time, was like overjoyed. He couldn't believe that there were indoor toilet facilities as well. It was like a home. So I tried it. And after 6 months, I couldn't take the 72-foot size because it's only 2 crew. And I ended up being the chief stewardess, which was not something I wanted to sign up for. So he quickly traded that in. I think we went up to 80-foot, then 105-foot, 108-foot. And we started enjoying yachting a lot. I think I enjoyed the 105 the most. But we realized that we would probably like to have something a bit larger. And so we started visiting boat shows. And when we were in Fort Lauderdale one October for the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, we were having lunch and we were discussing the boats that we had seen. And a young man came over to us and he said, "Excuse me, do you mind if I interrupt? Because I can see that you're going over some drawings of a yacht, and I'd like to introduce myself." And basically, it was the team from the Novoskrug shipyard in Germany. And so they sat with us. We started discussing what we had in mind, and they were very excited to try to help us to realize our dreams. And my husband took it over. My husband started visiting them. They started visiting him. He approved a design that they liked. And I pretty much left it to my husband and to the team at Novoskrug until she was about 4 months short of her delivery. And at that stage, I went and I visited her.
And which 777, right.
Yeah. And I realized that as lovely as 777 was, I mean, she had quite a few engineering feats, like her windows, the master cabin, or something that couldn't be repeated today. It wasn't a yacht that I would want to own.
Right. And why is that? From the aesthetics, or what about it didn't sit quite right?
There were just too many things. It was too decorated. I didn't feel that we had enough outdoor space. And I really always felt at that time that if I lived on a yacht, I wouldn't want to be going up and down and sideways and carpets everywhere. It didn't define my taste. So we did sell 777 just before she got delivered. And we immediately went on to design a Siren, you know, which is shipyard number 778.
Okay. Was it quite useful in a way then that you went through that process because you kind of got to see what you didn't like and what you could improve for?
100%. 100%. And my husband came up with this brilliant idea of the beach club. Now, if you look through your books, you'll see that really prior to Siren, the beach club, I hadn't seen it anywhere. And if you're on a large boat, it's very important to have a place to go, sit by the water, and feel that you're at one with nature and with the sea.
Mm.
And so the beach club does that. I also wanted a terrace. I mean, you know, the terraces were also a very new concept at the time, and it was the new jet ski, as far as I was concerned. But more importantly, I wanted a lot of outdoor deck space, and I wanted to feel like I was living in a penthouse apartment, and I wanted my cabin and all the facilities that I was looking for to be on one level.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And in terms of design, I noted that you asked me, you know, what inspired me. I mean, I've always loved Christian Liagra, you know, for his furniture and for his elegant simplicity, which is, it reflects times 100 years ago and it's current today. But in particular, I visited Parsifal 3, designed by Remy Tessier.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was astounded. I found it to be so elegant and so beautiful. What I particularly took note of was the minimum amount of wood.
Right, okay.
And the minimum amount of fabric, and that the themes would be repeated throughout the entire boat. And so that's inspired me for Siren, and that's what I did. I would never design anything that had more than five things. That was my Bible.
So what was your, you know, it's interesting hearing the inspirations. Can you talk us through, you know, if you're describing to an alien what it looks and feels like on board Siren, how would you kind of paint a picture of her?
For me, she feels like an oasis. She's calm. She's elegant. She's sporty. She's very practical. I mean, I knew I would be having several grandchildren coming up, and I didn't want to spend my time on board worrying about maintaining the furnishings, the silks, the rugs. So she's a very minimalist boat, but I set out to make her very comfortable at the same time. And I did manage to achieve my desire to have it feel like a penthouse, because it is seamless. It's all on one floor. And if you walk from room to room and from floor to floor, it's all the same language.
Yeah, it's a kind of very harmonious.
So there isn't a distraction. And what was equally important were the floor to ceiling height windows. Because in my view, nature and the ocean and the beautiful places that we were privileged to visit on board, you know, should be the main thing. I want to look out the windows and feel inspired by that. And I don't want to feel distracted sitting inside or sitting on my deck.
Yeah, I completely get that. It's so beautiful. I mean, you know, we'll make sure we can link to it so everyone can look through the pictures as well. But you were very hands-on with the design, weren't you?
And extremely.
And what was behind that decision? You know, did you know you always wanted to be that involved? And talk us also, I know that you worked with other people on it too.
Well, I mean, the decision came from the fact that I wasn't wanting to keep 777. I thought, I'm not doing this again. So that's what made me get so deeply involved in every detail. And I did something which, you know, for the time that she was built, was very novel. It was very risky. You know, the emphasis was all on the outdoors as opposed to the inside. Very modern. And I took a risk, but I did what I loved. And she was very well received.
And were you thinking, when you were designing, were you thinking about it purely in terms of what's going to work for me and my grandchildren and my family? Or were you thinking about kind of resale, charter, all those other kind of elements that can be consideration?
I only designed what I love and what I would like to live in myself. Because my philosophy is there must be lots of people like me. And I saw that the market was changing. Prior to Siren, the majority of people who were buying yachts tended to be older and wanted air conditioning. They wanted to sit inside in the air conditioning and take their shoes off and walk on plush carpets. What I wanted was to design something which would be suitable and fun and aesthetically pleasing for a young family.
And well, I think you're right, you know, on the money there in terms of how yacht design has changed recently. You mentioned the beach club, that's now such a huge feature, and the outdoor deck space, and it seems you were quite a trailblazer in kind of, you know, knowing what you wanted and recognizing that other people wanted that too.
Because things were changing. You know, the market wasn't confined to 50 plus Americans, which, and they were a large part of the market prior to that.
And you mentioned the beach club as a, you know, a particular area, but where else is there, when you're on board, where are your kind of favorite spots or your favorite items or things that you think, ah, that's worked out wonderfully, I'm so glad we did that like that?
I love the main deck. I mean, I find the seating there so comfortable and so relaxing. So I'm very often between the main deck and the beach club. I always sit at the beach club at sunset. I like to have an Aperol on the sun deck, see the sun go down. And it's a very peaceful time. It's sort of a transition between the hectic pace of the day and the evening that's going to begin. So that, you know, that's where I can always be found.
And you said, so you worked on the project together with Kathy
Brown from New Cruise.
Yes. So she was kind of working on it with you, and I've read some comments from you before about how well you kind of worked together. How did you get to know her, and why do you think you're a good creative partnership?
Well, Kathy came along originally with a gentleman called Frank Neubelt, who was designing things. And he was the designer of 777. And we went through some concepts and whatever, and I spoke briefly to Kathy, and she showed me some amazing fabrics and amazing things that I loved. And I basically told them, I want to work with her. And so, you know, 778, Siren was created. And I have to say that she did everything with such attention to detail, such love. And I'll always be grateful to her for that. And we worked beautifully together. We are two peas in a pod. We like the same things.
So you mentioned that you'd owned lots of boats previously of different sizes, and that you'd obviously spent a lot of time on board different yachts. What has that shown you about yacht design and the way that you like to use your boats and what you like to have on board? Is there anything that you kind of learned throughout that process?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, each of the boats that I went on to design after Siren was an evolution of Siren. So we went from Siren, we went to Sapphire, we went to Mogambo, we went to Graffiti, which became, what was she called in the end? Well, anyway, I named her Graffiti. I can't say that I learned anything in particular, because Siren was designed for myself. She's exactly what I wanted. And Sapphire was breathtakingly beautiful, and she was very Art Deco-ish in her taste. I was very saddened that I never got to see her after I sold her. I transformed the sun deck And I put the gym with a 180 degree view, which was lovely. And I laid it out totally differently. And you know, every yacht is meant to be different, you know, because I knew I was going to be selling them.
Yeah, I was going to say, of those boats that you mentioned, so you really didn't get to spend any time on them. It's Siren is your kind of personal yacht.
No, but I've since become friendly with the owner of Mogambo. And she went in for a major refit. And he put everything back pretty much the way he found it. Just, you know, he put in everything new in. And he enjoys it tremendously. And that gratifies me a lot.
That's good. And do you enjoy the process? Like, you know, would you be keen to do more and more boats? Or do you feel like now you've kind of reached your, you know, you've had your fun?
Well, I can't really say never. I'm very busy at the moment, sort of working in my family business. And they're in my son is in the hospitality business, building hotels. But I might.
Yeah, that's good. So you mentioned you had kind of cruising plans for the summer. Where's the most amazing place you've ever been? Not necessarily Greece, kind of anywhere in the world on a yacht. And what did you love about it so much?
I love so many places. It's just hard to define. It depends in what context. I mean, obviously, I love Amalfi Coast because it's so beautiful and so many places to visit. And I love Capri, and I love going around there. But in terms of something that absolutely floored me, I mean, I would say I love the western side of Spain. You know, like the western side of Majorca is absolutely breathtaking. I mean, there isn't any shelter. So one has to be very conscious of only going when the sea accommodates. But I feel like I'm living in Jurassic Park as we go past all these huge rock structures. I mean, I always find that very amazing.
And is there anywhere that's on your bucket list of, I've never been here, but my God, wouldn't I like to see that before?
I always have a bucket list. You know, unfortunately, because of piracy and everything, I'm never going to take Siren over east. You know, the thought of transporting her in a group with armed guards and all of that never appealed to me.
Yeah, just because you kind of can't face the risk, or it seems like an unnecessary stress. Or
I mean, I'm going to probably go to Northern Europe. I mean, you know, on our maiden voyage, we picked her up in Bergen, and we went through the Nordish fjords. Mm. That was breathtaking too.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely amazing. So I think maybe we'll do a bit more of that.
Can you remember any kind of specific spots or places on that journey that you kind of stopped and enjoyed? Because I know there's a lot to see there.
Well, we went to a place, I think it was called Seven Sisters, which was spectacular. And from there, a friend, we chartered a helicopter and we flew up to up to the glaciers. And there was an old restaurant there on the top of the glaciers. That was quite spectacular.
And how is yachting with grandchildren? Because I don't know how old your grandchildren are, but I'm assuming they're, you know, you mentioned not wanting to make a mess, so I'm assuming they're not kind of teenagers and they're more little grandchildren.
Well, now I have a two-year-old grandson, mm-hmm. and I have four and three teenage girls. So they're all joining me in the middle of June with their friends, so you can imagine.
I was gonna say, I can imagine
the jacuzzi, the hot tub on the sun deck is going to be in full use, and they're going to want to go out partying at night. So it, you know, the range is huge, and I have nieces and nephews, you know, to fill in the gaps in between, who I enjoy being with. So it's great.
How do you, because we've sort of spoken a lot and written a lot recently about, you know, kind of rise to multi-generational holidays and people having their grandchildren and their kids and their friends on board and lots of different ages. You know, I can imagine your crew of 13-year-old girls want to do something quite different to what your friends and your two-year-old want to do. What do you think is the secret to kind of making all of that work for everyone?
Well, one secret I have to share with you is we all have to respect the limitations of the crew. I mean, I know from experience that a lot of people, not a lot, take that out, but some families who charter boats want to use it 24 hours a day. So we respect the limits of the crew. And if I'm going to have grandchildren out till 2 a.m. or sometimes 2:30, something like that, you know, we have to make some accommodations so that the captain makes sure that the deckhand is going to be escorting them, you know, has a good rest. I just try to be as accommodating as I can. And what is important to me is that when people come on board, that they feel at home and they live their best life.
And how do you do that as a host? Because it sounds like you're permanently being very kind and inviting different people to stay with you.
Always.
How do you make people feel at home who've maybe not been on a boat like yours before?
Well, I let the chief stewardess talk them through the etiquette of the boat, what not to flush down the toilets and all of, try not to bring foundation into the cabins and keep them in the bathroom. There's a few things because I'm housebroad. But aside from
that, do you have any kind of sort of specific yacht rules that you wouldn't find on other boats?
No, I don't. I mean, actually, I have no rules, zero rules. I want everybody to feel at home. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable. I mean, I do like when we set up, let's say, an excursion or if we're going somewhere, that people respect the timing. Because my husband does not want to sit in a tender waiting for another 11 people to show up at the sun deck, at the bridge deck.
I actually was wondering, you know, do you think, I feel like superyachting, particularly since below deck, has kind of been, you know, put into the spotlight more, you know, for people that wouldn't normally access that kind of world. Do you think it's given new charterers or people who are new to the market a kind of false impression of what it's like to be on a charter yacht?
As a guest?
Yeah. Or kind of unrealistic expectations of kind of how it might be. Because it's interesting you talking about the limitations of the crew. I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think of that.
You know, perhaps I'm very particular about who I get to charter something.
Right. And how do you kind of, how do you decide? Is it always people that you know or you know where?
Well, either that or repeat guests. I take references. I check the number of guests. I look at the ages. I ask if they have any. There's a lot of kids. I ask if there are nannies to help. So I just try my best. I'm not motivated to charter simply for the income.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So it sounds like you're very hands-on in all aspects of not just the design, but the kind of, yeah, the charter, the yacht management, everything.
I try. I mean, I have a wonderful captain who I rely on a great deal. He's British, but lives in Miami.
And has he been with you since the start?
No, he's been with me, I don't know, about 8 years.
Okay, so a long stint then.
Yes. And he's very reliable, very sensible, very accommodating, very careful. Because what people don't realize is that being out on the sea, we're relying upon them. And if we need them to save our lives, we should be nice to them.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point there. Can't argue with that.
Yes.
So let's talk a bit about kind of off land. I know that, you know, when I was doing my research for this interview, you have worked with numerous charities and foundations. Are there any that are particularly close to your heart or that you kind of wish to promote or you have interests all over the place?
Well, thank you for asking. I mean, the Rubin Foundation, which I'm privileged to be part of, you know, has many philanthropic areas, but particularly in education, medicine, you know, those are the two areas. For myself, on a personal level, I'm very passionate about a charity in the UK called Centrepoint. I'm their global ambassador. We recently started building homes for young people who've left our program called follow-on accommodation, where they learn to live independently and how to manage their lives. And I'm so delighted with that. We have Prince William as our sponsor. He's very hands-on, very involved, loves to interact with our young people and encourage them. And so that's the one that's close to my heart. closest to my heart.
Does that, does your work with Centrepoint, does that take you all over the world, or is that mostly UK-based?
It's currently UK-based, but I would say that it's going to reach out into the United States, which has a huge homeless problem. And so we're talking with various agencies over there. And we might, I think really it's a great strength for charities with the same mission to work together, because we all want to achieve the same result.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw also that you've been to lots of kind of art exhibitions and openings and things. And I wondered, is art a particular passion of yours? And if so, do you have any lovely pieces on board Siren, or do you keep them safely somewhere elsewhere?
I have a couple of nice pieces on Siren. But in terms of art, it's my daughter who's a collector, my daughter Jordana, and she works with us in the hotel project. And she does the art procurement. I mean, I have pieces that every piece on Siren I personally chose.
Right. And is there anything you had in mind? Were you particularly trying to pick pieces with a relevance to the ocean or with a relevance?
Oh, definitely. I commissioned several pieces.
Did you? Wow.
Okay. As well.
And knowing that they would go on board Siren.
Yes, for each particular area.
Yeah. And do you ever plan to swap those out, or will they be the works that stay on the boat?
I don't have any immediate plans to swap them out. You know, you mentioned, would I ever consider a refit? I mean, basically, she's always a refit. I mean, every year during the shipyard period of 3 months, you know, sort of October, November, a bit of September, a bit of December, she's being refit. But I love Siren. So I just redo everything and put it back like it was new. And I don't change things. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, it's rare to find a yacht owner that's so contented with, normally you find that once someone's finished one project, they're already thinking about the next, but you seem kind of perfectly happy, I guess.
Very happy. I adore her. I mean, things have evolved. So, of course, upgrades have to happen continuously. Upgrades to AV, upgraded televisions, you know, technology in the wheelhouse and whatever. You know, it's a constant thing, has to be changed. And lighting, I would say, primarily, has evolved a great deal. And so if I would do anything, I would change out some of the lights. But I'm very into lighting, by the way. That's one of my main things. And she was very carefully lit. And even her exterior, you know, her profile, when I'm in the tender, or if I'm in a restaurant and I'm looking at a bay and I'm looking at her lighting, it thrills me, even today.
How do you feel every time you see her? Or
I feel thrilled. I feel thrilled. I feel grateful and full of joy because I just love her so much.
Oh, well, I think that's a lovely place to leave things, Deborah, unless there's anything else that you want to add.
No, thank you very much for listening to my story.
No, thank you. It's great to know. I mean, she's definitely a beautiful boat, and it's so nice to hear that you enjoy her and appreciate her.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.